Praise God. John 6 and 63, one verse to start with here tonight. Pentecostal. Amen. I hope we have a church full of people who are Pentecostal. Amen. And that we know what it means. We understand what the Bible says about Pentecost. We have a full understanding of Pentecostal doctrine. And we understand about the moving of the Spirit. We understand about what it means to be filled with the Spirit. And if you are not filled with the Spirit, if you have never been baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, then please reach out to the Lord. Begin to seek the Lord. Call upon the Lord and let Him minister to you, baptize you, fill you, and then begin to use you in a way. One writer that I read after said that it's not that the baptism in the Holy Ghost is a greater experience than your salvation. He said it just enhances it. Enhances it in every way. It makes you recognize how wonderful your salvation is. In every area of your life, it enhances your faith. It enhances your confidence in God. It enhances your understanding of the Scriptures. By the Spirit of God, your eyes are opened, and you're enlightened to the truth. And in every area of your spiritual experience, when you are filled with the Spirit, it enhances it, changes it, improves it, betters it. Amen. If it can get better than salvation, the only thing would be that the baptism in the Holy Ghost is just like the icing on the cake. It's the continuing blessing. Praise God. Let's read this one verse of Scripture to start with here tonight. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Those are the words of Jesus speaking, of course, to his audience there in John chapter 6, but speaking directly to you and me today as well. The Spirit quickens. The word just means revitalizes, giving life. The Spirit gives life and revives. Amen. That's what the Spirit does. It is the Spirit that quickens, makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. Nothing. We were talking this morning about all these amazing advances in technology and all the things that can be used as tools for the advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some of you may remember during our missions conference, John and Janice Jenkins come often, and he is a computer guy and a mechanic and very knowledgeable, and he has developed, along with some others, and this little small device that can be used in all different types of foreign countries, foreign languages, and it's really like a mini Bible Institute, all on that one little small device that preachers can learn the Word of God. They can be taught so many amazing lessons from God's Word. Literally, he said it's like a small little Bible Institute, where they can go through lesson after lesson after lesson, learning more and more and more about the Word of God. Now, that's a neat thing. That's a neat device to consider something like that. It's a tool. And there are many, many tools, as we were talking this morning. The Lord can use anything that has been submitted to Him, yielded to Him. Your talents are one thing. But your talent that isn't consecrated and dedicated to God is flesh. It's not worth anything to God. But when you take who you are what God is, how He has created you, how He has made you, the talents and the gifts that you have, and you consecrate them to God. You dedicate them to God. Then they become a tool to be used of God. Amen. The things that are done by the strength and the energy of the flesh will only produce fleshly results. That is a serious thing to consider, to think about. That if what we're doing is only a product of the flesh, then it will not have any spiritual impact at all. It is only as what we do is anointed, inspired, as we are committed to God and dedicated to God, the work of the Spirit of God, that it can produce fruit. It can produce life. What is done in the power of the Spirit will produce results. It will produce spiritual fruit if it is done by the Spirit. Amen. And so that verse in Zechariah 4 and 6 that we have, that's familiar to us. There's even a song that we sing. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It is only by the Spirit. It's not by might. It's not by physical strength. It's not by power. It's not by your own abilities. It's by the Spirit of God. Only the things of the Spirit of God. Amen. Those are the things that will produce results. That's why, as Pentecostals, we should desire and covet the presence of God, the anointing of God, the touch of God upon our lives. Because what we do will produce nothing unless it is anointed and inspired of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. That's how God chooses to work. That's how men come to salvation. It is the Spirit of God that is wooing them, drawing them, convicting them to bring them to that place of repentance. It's the Spirit of God that's opening their eyes. The God of this world, who is Satan himself, has blinded the minds of those that are in sin and in the world. Only the Spirit of God can quicken them and awaken them and open their eyes so they can see and comprehend the truth of the gospel. That's why we must be Spirit-filled people. That's why the activities of the church, outreach and evangelism and everything that we do must be dependent upon the work of the Spirit of God. Amen. The Spirit of God that woos that sinner and draws that sinner, that convicts that sinner, that opens his eyes, also enlightens his mind so that he can understand and comprehend the things of the Spirit of God. The Bible says the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. It's like he's talking in a foreign language, or he can't understand it. It doesn't make sense to him. Why do I need to be saved? Why do I need the Bible? Why do I need to go to church? Why do I need those religious things? I don't need any of that in my life. I knew one person who would say things like, why do I need to bow down and pray to a God that I can't even see? That's the way the world thinks. That's the way the world, because they can't comprehend the things of the Spirit of God. But a New Testament church that's filled with the Spirit will worship God in the Spirit. We'll pray in the Spirit. We'll preach and teach under the anointing of the Spirit. We'll pray in the Spirit. And when we do these wonderful works in the Spirit, then we are able to communicate as well to the sinner. Amen. As I said this morning, talking about all these people around, whenever you land in a foreign country, the first thing that happens to you is that you realize that you are not able to communicate with all of these people that are around you. And if it was not for some, usually the younger ones in foreign countries are learning English. So usually you'll have to turn to a little child or to a young person, and they know a little bit about the language. But if you get middle-aged or older people, most of them, they don't know English, and so you're just lost. You're really in a foreign world because you cannot communicate with them. That's the sinner. That's how the sinner is. When it comes to the things of God, they don't understand. They can't comprehend. They don't understand where your joy comes from. They don't understand where our worship comes from, why we do what we do, why we act the way we act, why we live the way that we live. They can't understand it. The carnal man cannot understand, can't comprehend the things of the Spirit. Amen. They are spiritually discerned. It's only as there's a work of the Spirit in their life that then their eyes are suddenly opened and their mind becomes clear. The God of this world has blinded them to the things of God, but somehow the light of the Spirit of God breaks through that darkness, breaks through that blindness, and suddenly it dawns on them, I'm a sinner and I need Jesus. I need to be saved. So whenever you pray for your lost family, friends, loved ones, then you pray, Lord, do a work by your Spirit. Do a work of the Holy Spirit in their life. Open their minds and their eyes. Help them to see their need for God. Help them to see their spiritual condition that they are in. Amen. Oh, how we need the working and the moving of the Spirit of God. We can't afford to do anything without God's Spirit and presence in our life. So there's either this quickening of the Spirit going on in your life, or there's a quenching of the Spirit. The word there that's in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 19, where that short little verse that says, quench not the Spirit. The word, it's really a word that has to do with snuffing out a fire, to put out a fire. Don't quench the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Either you are enlightened, you are quickened, made alive by the Spirit of God, or you will be snuffing out the fire. You'll be showing disinterest. You'll be, by your actions, your spirit, your attitude, quenching the Spirit. It can happen in your life. It can happen in a church service that we quench the Holy Spirit of God. I do not want to make that terrible mistake. I want to be open to the voice of God, to the moving of the Spirit of God. I don't want my plans to always be the way the service has to go. I want God to be able to interrupt the meeting if He chooses to, and for there to be a work of the Spirit, of a word of prophecy or tongues, interpretation, for there to be something in the service that makes it evident God's working. He's alive, and He can bring about change in the lives of people. Glory to God. Oh, how we need that. Everyone, from the youngest to the oldest, needs to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Even as I said, I was a young boy, maybe 14 years old, when I received the Holy Ghost. Every one of you young people, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. If you're not saved, first of all, you need to get born again. But that same Spirit that will draw you to Him, to salvation, is the same Spirit that will stir your heart and cause you to begin to hunger for more of God, to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And you need that. And then, so if you've never been baptized, then you need to pray, Lord, give me a hunger, give me a desire. Help me to have a desire, Lord, for the things of God, and a desire. If you don't have a hunger and interest, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. You might not have a real interest in spiritual things, but I just encourage you, just go ahead and step forward into the things of God. Make a step of faith and say, Lord, I don't know about this, but I just want what you have for me. And as I said this morning, don't be seeking after tongues. Seek to get closer to God. Please seek to draw nearer to the Lord. As you move closer and closer and closer, Jesus Christ Himself, who is the baptizer, He will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and with fire. Praise God. Amen. So if you've never been filled, then seek the Lord. If you have been filled, like many of us here in this church, we have been filled. We need to understand the importance of a continual filling in our lives. Ephesians 5 and 18, you remember that this is also one of the prison epistles. And the Apostle Paul is in a circumstance under arrest in Rome, likely suffering to some degree, probably in chains. And yes, You know, maybe suffering the elements, maybe cold and things, mistreatment somewhat. You know, I'm not real sure all the things that he suffered, but we do know that in his bonds, he did suffer. He did suffer. But God took that circumstance, and instead of it being the end of his ministry, God used that and worked in his life, even in the most adverse circumstance, and did some really wonderful, mighty things. Not only positioned him in the palace to be able to influence kings and influence centurions, and that the gospel filled the palace. Not only that, but he wrote the epistles under the inspiration of the Spirit. And there he is in the prison, but it did not stop the flow of God's Spirit in his life. And it's in that circumstance that he writes, verse 18, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess." He's no doubt talking to the Ephesians because one of their festivals was the festival of Bacchus. That was the festival of wine and drunkenness. Every year they would have this festival where they would all just get drunk out of their minds. And it was a big celebration to the god, the pagan god of Bacchus. He was probably referring to that. Don't be drunk with wine. We're in his excess. Don't allow that to be the thing that controls your life. Don't be under the influence of that kind of a thing. But instead, be filled with the Spirit. The phrase there literally means be filled with the Spirit. It means stay full or to be continually filled. It's like the, you know, say like a vessel that you're serving out of, you're pouring out of, but there's someone that's there that is continually pouring into that vessel and keeping the serving vessel filled up, continually filled up, so that you will be able to keep pouring out. The inflow must sustain the outflow. It's a big problem for a lot of people. It's a big problem for preachers of the gospel and a lot of Christians who serve and work in the kingdom of God. They pour out, they pour out, they pour out, and before long they've emptied out. Amen? But there has to be, the inflow has to sustain the outflow. And that's what the apostle is talking about here. A lot of people have been around the Pentecostal church for a long time, and if asked, "Have you been filled with the Holy Ghost?" they would raise their hand and say, "Absolutely yes." But that's, you know, you've gone through a lot of trials since then. You've done a lot of things. You've poured out in service and ministry since you were filled with the Holy Ghost. What about the condition of your soul right here tonight? Are you full? That's the question. Are you full of the Spirit? Are you full of the Holy Ghost? Don't be drunk with wine, wherein in excess. He told those Ephesians, he said, but instead, be filled, always filled with the Spirit, always filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Be full when the pressure is on. Amen. You recognize your need for the Lord. It's a draining thing. Many times, you know, in serving and ministering, it drains you. One day this week, I taught 4 hours. And I'm not used to that. That's why I probably went 48 minutes this morning. Because I almost got adjusted to the Latin culture. And I taught for an hour. And then I stopped. I took about a 15-minute break. And they've done the same thing. And they're already coming back in. They're seated in their seats. There's about 75 to 80 of them that are there. Most of them are men. Most of them are preachers and pastors. There are some ladies there, some of the companions, the wives that are in some of those sessions. Then we go another hour. Then we take another break. And I went another hour. Then we take a break. And I went another hour. 4 hours. Now, when you preach and you teach for 4 hours, something is poured out of you. And you find yourself emptying out. You got to get a hold of something. You got to get a hold of something if you're going to have anything else to offer. To people when the pressure is on, when the persecution is great, just because you were filled at one time does not mean you are where you need to be for the present circumstance. In Acts chapter 4, now the disciples, 120, were baptized in the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. But then four chapters later, in chapter 4, the pressure is on. There was the lame man was sitting by the gate, beautiful, that was miraculously healed by those disciples, raising them up by the power of the Spirit of God. He went walking and leaping and praising God, and everyone was rejoicing except some of the religious leaders. They got upset about it. And by chapter 4, the pressure is on. And they're called on the carpet, as you would say. And they're under pressure and they're warned, don't speak in this name. Don't preach in his name. Twice they told him not to do it, even though the disciples said, we must preach in this name. We must declare the name of the Lord. Let me read you a few verses here. It says in verse 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak, after they have been told to stop preaching Jesus and to stop declaring the message of Christ. Now they come back to the Lord and say, Lord, you see their threatenings. Would you give your servants boldness to speak by stretching forth thy hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child, Jesus? When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. What? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost? I thought they were all filled with the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2. They were. But that was before the pressure and the persecution and the threatenings. That was before the pouring out, the pouring out, the pouring out, the healings and the miracles and the declaring of the name of the Lord and standing boldly against their accusers. They've poured out and poured out. And so now they said, Lord, behold their threatenings. We got to have something right now, fresh. The Bible says that when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were at. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. The multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord. And great grace was upon them. Hallelujah. Do you understand that it's wonderful that you got baptized in the Holy Ghost in that revival meeting 20 years ago or 30 years ago? That's wonderful. You've been pouring out. You've been emptied out. You've given and you've faced trials and problems and needs. You've had to lean heavily upon the Lord. And you've emptied out. And that's why you need to come to the Lord and cry out to God and say, Lord, tonight, for the present circumstance in January 2017, Lord, I find myself empty. I find myself emptied out. I need more. And I need you to fill me back up. Amen. With the power of the Spirit of God. The same thing happened in Acts chapter 13. The Jews got stirred up. It says that the Jews were stirred up, and the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, they raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. Verse 51 says, but they shook off the dust off their feet and came to Iconium. Verse 52 says, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Amen. When the pressure's on, what do you need? You need a refilling. Amen. When you're giving out and pouring out, you need a refilling. Amen. Whatever you do in the strength of the Spirit depends upon the inflow sustaining the outflow. Amen. You can't just keep on giving out. I've seen people burn out and give up and turn their back on God. I've seen people walk away from the church because they hit a low of defeat and discouragement and begin to think, well, I'm not effective. I'm not doing anything that's really going to make any difference in the church or in the kingdom of God. And the enemy beats them down and discourages them to think that they're worthless in the kingdom of God. What you need is a quickening in your life. You need a refilling in your life. You need the Spirit of God. You need the inflow that can sustain the outflow to make sure that you have something to offer to this world. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. That's what you need. Amen. We need to be reminded of the fact that we have an inner source. We have tapped in to something that the persecution, the troubles, all the things that are outside can't steal away or stop the flow of the Spirit of God. Amen. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1 and 19, he says, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation or my deliverance through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." The supply of the Spirit. Do you understand that we have tapped into a wonderful, wonderful gift, this gift of the Holy Ghost. We have tapped in to a divine source that has been given to us. And you may think, well, how in the world can I ever get closer to God? I've got this problem in front of me and this problem behind me, and I'm surrounded by troubles, and it doesn't seem like I can break through to the presence of God and the things of God. Oh no, you need to understand that there is a divine source, an inward source that comes to you that is not affected by anything around you. God is able to revive you and to fill you with this Spirit no matter what circumstance, no matter what the problem or the mess that you find yourself in right now. God can help you and touch your life. Praise God. If you're going to have something to flow out, if you're going to have something to give, something of significance, remember the verse that we started off with? It's the Spirit that quickens, the flesh profiteth nothing. If you pour out and give out and run out of God's presence and power in your life, then the only thing left is your fleshly ability. And it might be a good faith effort. You may try real hard to do what's right and to do good, but you're not going to really make a lasting impact in the work of God or the ministry unless it's something that is done through and by the power of the Spirit of God that is within you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So if you've been filled with the Holy Ghost a long time, as I said this morning, I was just a teenage boy. But I've had to have times down through the years where I got back in the presence of God and I received from the Lord and I was filled again with the presence of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. One more scripture. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, all the surrounding circumstances, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, storms all around you, and the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Verse 4, there is a river. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High God. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Amen. Amen. All these things that surround you, all these things that have drained you, that are in every direction, pressures, persecutions, worries, fears, doubts, pouring out, pouring out, pouring out, pouring out, continually giving out and pouring out, and you find yourself empty, empty. What do? All these things are surrounding you. You don't know what to do. Here's the promise of God. There is a river, the streams thereof make glad the city of God. Now there was in Jerusalem, and even to this day, there is a water supply. I wish you could read the sermon. I looked for it today and couldn't find it. Brother A.N. Trotter, in a little book of several of his sermons, Brother Trotter was a great man, a great Pentecostal preacher, preached here in this pulpit, not this exact pulpit, but in this church, around the dedication week. And great man of God. But he's got a sermon in there called the Jerusalem Waterworks. And he goes through the scriptures and that describe the water source that's inside of the city of Jerusalem. Now that's significant because whenever an enemy would surround a city, the city walls, one of the first things they would do to try to force them to surrender was they cut off the supply lines of food or supplies coming in, and they would contaminate or stop up the water supply. If it was flowing from out, without, within, they would stop it. The people couldn't survive. Before long, they had to surrender and give up, and then they would be defeated by their enemy. But Jerusalem had a supply, and different people believe a different way. Hezekiah built a conduit of water. Solomon built also a conduit that brought water into the city. But most believe, and Brother Trotter believes, and he goes back to several scriptures, believes that there is like a springing source of water. And that sounds wonderful to me. That there's this springing underground source of water that flows up and fills certain pools in the city of Jerusalem. So it doesn't matter who has them surrounded. It doesn't matter what they do without. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Glory to God. What does that mean to you and I? How does that apply to you and me? It means that we have an inward supply. We have a supply from God that no matter what you're up against, no matter what is surrounding you, no matter how the enemy is attacking you, that you have a divine supply. Amen. There is a river. It's flowing. The streams whereof make glad the city of God. That within the confines of the walls of the city, there is this wonderful source that was pouring into them, and they were not affected by the things that were without. Glory to God. That's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's you and me. Sure, there's darkness out there. Sure, this country is in a mess. All kinds of troubles and problems and divisions. And I don't have a lot of confidence in man-made solutions as far as the needs of this country. I just believe the hope is the church. The hope is the church that is filled with the Spirit, that is operating in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, quickened by the power of the Spirit of God. A church that's alive and moving forward by the power of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And all those things that are happening, it does not have to stop. And it will not stop the flow of God's presence in your life. Amen. And the world will look at you like you're weird and peculiar, because you can have the joy of the Lord, and you can be rejoicing and living in victory when all around you is worry and trouble and problems and defeat. But you can still tap into that wonderful source. Praise the Lord. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That river that flows, that hidden source that comes and flows and sustains us no matter what we face. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Could we just thank the Lord? Let's stand together. Let's give praise and thanks to the Lord for the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost in all of our lives. Hallelujah. Oh, we do thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Lord, for the wonderful presence of God, for the Spirit of God, and Lord, for all that you've made available to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we know that there's darkness and there is trouble all around us. But Lord, it does not have to change what's taking place in our hearts. It doesn't have to change what's taking place in the church, because there is a divine source.
There is a river. There is a stream that makes glad the city of God. And so we rejoice in the fact, Lord, that you have provided for us wonderful victory. In the mighty name of Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.